All of the views and opinions expressed here are those of the individual speaking and may not be representative of Coding American. At times, language may be considered vulgar. Listener discretion is suggested.
You are now listening to the Coding Behind the Wheel podcast.
All right, we're live. What's up, guys? Welcome back to another Wheel Wednesday podcast. I'm Nick. This is Scott. I don't know what to say after this.
I mean, you
welcome
the
back.
I mean, the man has
welcome
one
back.
Job. He says, should I do the intro? I said, sure. And he went ahead, and then he has nothing to say. So,
well, that was it. Well, welcome to our Wheel Wednesday podcast. We do this every Wednesday.
That's true.
Pretty much it.
We do this every Wednesday. So, what's going on? How are you? All right.
Anyways.
So we're here. It is, we're moving through the week, so that's good. Let's see. Internally, not that you care, but in case you do, SEMA is on the horizon.
I was actually going to ask, how's the SEMA planning going? We mentioned that the past two podcasts.
Yeah, it's terrible. So
terrible. Great.
Yeah, it's terrible.
It's good to hear.
It's kind of always terrible right around this time. You know, we have cars locked in, so that's cool. We have a lot of arrangements that are kind of, you know, they go back and forth. You know, SEMA, it doesn't matter how much you plan. You could plan every last detail in advance. Everything just starts shuffling. It starts mixing.
Something will still go wrong.
Yeah, we've had to change things. We're moving things. We've decided to do some other things as we went on, and that's kind of changed some of the plans. So, you know, it's crazy. And then, you know, there's a lot of other variables that change that are out of your control. You know, freight times and different things. So, yeah, it sucks.
Sounds like you got your hands full.
Yeah, and that's like, you know, it's like this much of what we do. So, like, we're doing that in our free time. So,
yeah.
But, you know, it's SEMA. So, if you're going to be out at SEMA, make sure you catch us. I think we're 43071 booth number. So,
whatever,
you know,
that means.
It means come through. Check us out. I think we're good because this year you're going to be coming to SEMA. That's cemented.
Yeah, I know. It's exciting.
And we're going to be able to turn some content out for you. We're going to be doing some live streams. There's going to be some cool things going on.
We are going to be doing a lot of interviews at SEMA. So maybe a couple live things if we can manage to get the internet.
I would say that we'll probably do more live things than we will.
Than anything?
Yeah, probably. Because I think that as long as we have the internet, it's a great opportunity to kind of show you new wheels and some other things and to kind of bring you some kind of on-the-floor footage from the show.
We have new wheels out already? Or like ready to go?
No, but we released them there. So.
Oh, okay.
So maybe we'll do something cool for people like you, and we'll maybe go live maybe the night before SEMA to try to give you like the sneak peek of what we're going to be releasing on Tuesday morning.
Nice.
Yeah. So let's get right into this week's Wheel Wednesday little subject here. I like to think it's going to be a little Ranter McRanterstein. You know what I mean? A little ranty.
No, you...
I did.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
I think it's going to be a little ranty. we try to cover questions and different things from the podcast. There's, you know, we've done that over and over again. We usually have subjects or different things. So one of the things that we continue to get asked about all the time, especially in the comments section, is do we make custom specs? Will we make them a custom wheel? Will we do something that
that's,
don't build?
That's actually a very good question. It's actually a question I had on my mind for a while.
Well,
because I thought about some crazy, ridiculous.
Stay tuned. We may answer it right here on this podcast. So, do we make custom offsets?
Do
we make custom specifications? The answer is no. But there's an explanation. So, we put out our part numbers. If you go to our website and you pick on a wheel that you like and click on the specs tab at the top, it will show you all the part numbers that we have. We have the ability to make any wheel we want. I mean, we can make a wheel that's, you know, 18 by 18, or we can make a silly offset. It's not that we don't have the capability to make these wheels. And when we make a wheel, we're doing it primarily because we know or we see demand in that area.
Right.
And this is not as much, you know, we'll have people that will say things like, oh, if you guys can't sell a lot of wheels, then you don't want to make it. Well, first off, that's not true. But let's go one step further. We make wheels that are that have demand behind them for a few reasons. One of the reasons, obviously, is that it's...
They'll sell.
Well, yeah, sure. I mean, at the end of the day, I guess we are a business, so it would be silly to make something that wouldn't sell. But, right. You know, listen, it takes a good amount of logistics and investment in every wheel we make, you know, whether it be making a new mold or different programs or machining time or, you know, doing the R&D to be able to make sure it works in those vehicle applications. I mean, the one thing that we're very, very conscious of and very cognizant of is we do the research to make sure that when we make a wheel for, let's say, 50120 or for in certain intended vehicles,
right,
that they work. And you're going to bolt them on and not really have too much of an issue, except for some of the niche fitments that we make. And a lot of times you'll see us, or if you ask us if they'll fit, we'll say it's really aggressive. And if you're going to run them on your car, you need to do some homework.
Right.
And not because we don't want to help you, but because we can't tell you that, oh, all you have to do is run this big spacer or whatever it is. Like, we can't say
so,
that.
So what goes into choosing the sizes and the specs that you're going to make for a certain wheel?
Cause yeah, so we use some of it as sales history, right? There's some part numbers that we know we're going to build based off the fact that we've built them before. They
right.
sell well. We know what vehicles they go on. There's other times that we do it based off of research.
So not every wheel that Koenig sells will fit every car, right? Certain wheels
right,
are only made for certain styles
sure.
of vehicles.
Right.
So, you know, I guess in an instance, well, I mean, you already said that we don't do this, but, like, what if there was an instance where, like, let's say, I don't know, one of the hypergrams, somebody wanted it for the car and they didn't make, like, that certain size. What
right.
would
– Right. So
what would be the options there?
Yeah,
like,
so there
– Is there a way for you to be like, all right, so many people are asking, maybe we should do it or
– Yeah, I mean, the answer to that question is yes. So – how can you get us to make a custom spec? Well, first off, if there really is demand there for it, first thing is we've said this so many times before. We're into hearing people's feedback.
Right.
Like if you have feedback or if you know something's going on or if you know that, you know, hey, look, this fitment would fit my car or fit this car and there's a lot of people and it's not really made by a lot of people or it's not affordable
right.
to a lot of people. We listen to that. We've talked about that before. We did that with the Fiesta community, the Fiesta ST community.
Right.
We've done that with the Focus community.
I was going to bring that up. The,
yeah.
The Fiesta.
We've done that before, in some of the niche, Volkswagen stuff, like, you know, giving them a flow formed offering and a little bit more of aggressive stance for some of the Volkswagen and Audi track guys. So we're absolutely on board to listen to what you have. And if there's a real demand there, we're okay to do it. So why don't we do, you know, drilling? Why won't we just – well, if we make a wheel in 18, you know, 9.5 at a 20 offset, why can't we just drill it a different pattern than we don't right now?
Right.
Right? And we'll get that question a lot. And the reason is actually fairly simple. It's not because we can't – we're not a four-at-a-time company. We don't make wheels four at a time. You want to know how we keep our wheels affordable. We do it in a way that we are making part numbers that will have some volume there so that we can affordably keep our, you know, keep our product affordable.
Right.
Once you start getting into four at a time, it's not just about the drilling or the actual workmanship or the labor time about it. I mean, well, I mean, it is about that. But now you're talking about paying a guy that has a different job to take wheels off a rack, to bring them over to your machining area, to drill just that pattern, to make sure that everything's still good and the paint didn't get chipped, or refinish the wheel afterward and then box them back up. And so when you start factoring that time in,
so
it's
yeah.
not affordable anymore.
Yeah.
So if we're going
to
charge you,
adding all that time bumps up the price to 100%. Doing it, as opposed to, like, I guess, you know, and like a factory assembly line, like if they just automatically were to like drill out.
Right.
I mean, I don't know if we know. Like thinking of like right. a Ford assembly line, just constantly going through there. And then one person was like, oh, well, can we do one set this way or two sets this way? To now break up that assembly line is now going to take more time to get, you know, the product out. And, you know, you got to pay for the time. It's not just like, oh, sure, we can just do it and change like a couple settings.
Right. And so that's kind of the, you know, I mean, obviously there's logistics in it that we don't need to get into because it's very, very specific. But, you know, with that said, is if we started to do that type of thing, you know, let's say it was $100 per wheel charge to do that type of thing. Well, now our wheel could cost more. $100 more per wheel, mm-hmm, at our cost, which means that now by the time it gets to the retail level, it's more. It's just something we don't want to do. We really do work very hard, whether you believe us or not, to keep wheels affordable and to make sure that when we put out product, it's the best product that we can put out. And we've done the R&D and we know it fits and we know it's good product and it's been QC'd. And when it comes to your door, it's as affordable as we can offer it.
Right.
Right? So you know, with that all said, you know, by doing those, you know, four at a time, the price would go up tremendously. And it's not something that we're looking to do. So, you know, how can you get us to make a wheel that's in a specification that we don't make right now? You can... First off, send us your feedback. Let us know.
Right.
Right? Let us know what that fitment is. The next is, you know, I mean, listen, we look into all that feedback. So if there really is a demand there, we'll look into it. We've done it before with Hypergrams introducing the 18 by 11 at a 15 offset because we had a lot of our racers tell us that we're on 10.5s at 25 or 10.5 at an 18.
Right.
We had a lot of our racers tell us, hey, look, you know, this is awesome when I'm running a 305, but when I'm stepping up to a 315,
I need
some extra room. And so we made the 18 by 11 and a 15, and that was the reason we made it. And it works well for that segment.
So how much feedback does it take to actually say, okay, we need to get this done.
Definitely more than one.
Well, obviously, but you know, like, do the emails have to be rolling in, or is it like,
no,
you
know, I don't know,
a couple of week, or
I would say that
maybe over time you'll realize, oh, like, you know, a 100 people or a couple hundred people were like, I mean, what are the numbers like how many people?
I don't know. I mean, that's a quantification that I couldn't give you, but I will say that, you know, with let's say the Fiesta ST community, we heard about it from one guy, then we looked into it a little bit, then we had a couple other people feedback on it, we did a little research, we had a couple more people feedback on it,
mm-hmm,
and, you know, when we tried it, we did the Hypergram, I think 17 by 8 first, and it did it okay. So, you know, here's another piece. You know, after we finally make that spec, you know, getting, you know, you supporting it, you know, is a big part to it. Watching it go forward. I mean, so now we didn't have one really good, solid Fiesta driven fitment for the car. We had some Fiesta ST like conservative stuff, but they weren't aggressive stuff.
Right.
And so we actually took that and we, you know, we made it and then they bought it and they were really happy with it. And then in turn, they said, well, you know, it'd be great if we can also have this side. And we said, what the heck? Well, you know, like we've seen a few people, right, try that also. And that did okay. So it really just comes down to, you know, a give and a go. And we really do use our, I mean, you know this, we probably, without even blinking an eye, we use our social base and we have conversations and we try to answer all the comments and questions,
right,
and ask people like, so, well, what did you want this for? So we can figure it out what you want and how we can build it for you.
So here's a valid question, and we can cut this out if it's like going to.
No, we don't cut things out.
Well,
yeah.
Yeah. No, we don't. All right. So how does it go about like actually selling them? Like, do you say, okay, enough people ask, and then you make like a certain quantity and then try and sell out of that quantity? Or is mm-hmm. it like, you know, you'll post up the availability for it and then, you know, see how many people buy it and then.
Yeah, we don't pre-sell. We don't do that. We've had people say that before about, you know, organizing group buys or pre-sells or something like that. We don't do that.
So when you post it to the website or
It means we have committed to it, and it's available.
And they can just they can buy it from a retailer.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So, you know, as far as that whole thing goes, I just think it's one of those things. You know, you want to support what you really believe should be the right thing for your car.
Right.
You know, I think that as far as the quantities go, sometimes when we bring something in, we'll go a little bit, slow, and then we'll gauge the demand as we sell.
That way you don't make too many, and then you're stuck with a whole bunch of sizes.
Not a perfect science. I mean, sometimes, especially with new fitments, we'll make it and we'll blow through them day one. We've had that happen before. You know, we make a wheel. And, you know, we get the wheel all said and done, and it shows up, and let's say we brought it a couple hundred of them in, and, day one, you sell
They're
a few.
All gone.
Because then you had a couple guys that commented to you, oh, when's this coming out? And you've already told him, and then, or told them, and then
they tell someone,
they go buy it, and next thing you know, it ends up as a post on a forum, or ends up on a Facebook, group or something like that.
Oh, Koenig wheels just got this size, and everyone's
next thing
oh my gosh.
And we've been wiped out in a day. And then, there's a lead time to take to kind of get wheels produced. And next thing you know, you're flat out of it.
Well, which is where my question came from, where, do you post it first and then make it, or do you make it and then
We tend to make it and then put it available.
Okay.
If we weren't confident about making something, we don't build it. So, how do we get confident? We do our research. It means it's got to exist. You know, we just recently had, I don't remember who this person is, but if you are listening to this and you see this, shout out to you, I guess. But not ripping you apart.
I don't know what he's about to say, but if this is something good, comment below. If it's something bad,
We had somebody ask about a 2000, like an earlier WRX. And they said about how come we don't make an 18, 9.5, 5 and 100 at like a 20 offset.
Was this a question on one of our podcasts?
No.
Oh, never mind. I feel like it was a question on one of our podcasts.
I just answered it the other day.
Oh, okay.
And I said to him, well, because you're in the minority of people that would ever run that on that car.
Right.
I'm not saying that it doesn't exist. I'm not saying you can't go to a forum,
at that fitment. It's just something that's not common enough to where it's like, all right, we can make it and enough people are going to run this.
On the average, for all the enthusiasts we do, we have a lot of people. For every time you have an enthusiast that buys a wheel that is aggressive or doesn't fit or they got to do modification to run the wheel,
right?
There's 10 other ones that just want to bolt the wheel on the car and drive down the road, right? So for every guy you sell an 18.9.5 at a low offset, there's the guy that's 18.8.5 at a mid offset that just wants to put them on the car, put the right size tire on the car, not have any problems, and he put new wheels that are more aggressive than what he had on there.
Right.
But he doesn't want to go through the rigmarole.
Super crazy aggressive.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that was actually going to be one of my next questions is what do you get more of, or what do we get more of? Is it more, we love this wheel and we just want a functional fitment for our car, or is it we want a much more aggressive fitment for the cars that we have?
Yeah, it's like on social media and in the forums and stuff like that, people tend to ask for things or want things that the majority will never buy.
Right.
They want finishes and colors that we don't make. They, and they say, this isn't knocking anybody. Like, we appreciate every single comment you send in, and we try to do as much as we can of it. But, there's be a lot of people that will say, everybody would buy this thing if you made it in lime green. And we've done that. We've been doing,
questionable.
Almost 40 years we've been doing this. And when we tend to do things like that, you find that that's not necessarily accurate.
Yeah.
Right?
You need to go more off data and less off what people comment on social media.
But one person comments,
like, oh, everybody, like, you need to go off everybody's comments. Like,
right.
I'm sure if 150 people all commented, like, oh, we would be interested in this thing, then you'd actually take that into consideration. Like, oh, okay, maybe people will actually be interested, as opposed to, just one person saying, oh, everybody would love this. It's like, okay, where's the the proof to to back that up.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of pieces here. So I guess, you know, kind of wrapping up this subject a little bit. How can you get us to make a wheel spec that we don't already make? Well, one, send the message in, let us know what's up, and be as factual and accurate as you possibly can. You know, if you send us things like, hey, this is my car, this is what I do, this is what I have on the car, and, you know, this is the type of fitment that I'm really looking for and it's really neat, and here I see other people doing this type of thing.
Right.
And that happened again with the Focus ST crowd. I mean, I don't know why it's a Ford thing, but, like, they're just good examples I can remember.
Yeah.
With the Ford ST crowd, they basically had said, hey, look, it's cool that you made an 18.5 at a 43 if it's your car. We love the wheel. But there's a lot of ST guys now that are starting to put fender flares on the car. And I'm like, okay. So they're putting fender flares on the car, so they want to put an 18x9.
A little wider.
Some even, like with the RS guys, some of them even want the 9.5s.
Because they want more aggressive fitment to be able to look to it.
Yeah, to be able to fill up.
I'm laughing. I don't know who that was, but they just kind of peeked in the door like.
So they want more aggressive fits, you know, to fill up the fender flares. And we had a couple people send a couple things in. We did a little research. We saw people doing the fender flare things. We had a couple other people comment. We went back and forth and was like, you know what, let's try this. And you know, it works. So we'll do the research on our end. You know, and it's not, I know it sounds like it is. It's not about necessarily always making as much money as we can. That's not really as much of a factor as you would think. A lot of it comes down to, can we justify the cost that we're, of investment that we're going to have to put into it? And is there a valid demand there? And are we making a wheel that is going to be utilized by more than a handful of people? Right. And I think if we can do that, if we can come across that information, there's a very real possibility that we could add a fitment, and that's real. So I would say, for everybody that we have asking about custom fitments and custom specs, understand, please, we really do our best to make our wheels as affordable as possible. And one of the things that we have to do is do research to make sure that we're going to be able to have enough volume there to push the price down.
So now, when you say custom specs, you just mean like the wheels that we already have, that they just want to be able to fit them on their car or make them look a little bit more aggressive, not necessarily like modifying the design or anything like that.
I mean, listen, we get questions all the time about if we can just,
you know,
change
make
the
a
color.
Bigger lip or change the color.
Yeah, so we get that stuff. And that stuff
like
is all valid.
Deeper concave.
That stuff is all valid. But I would say that when you make a comment about a given style or a bigger lip or this or that or actual design changes in the style of a wheel, we consider those elements and those things as we develop new wheels for following years.
Right.
Right? I know right now, and you guys are we've had some comments about different things with lips, and we've tried to work on that for some upcoming designs. So, you know.
Ooh, interesting.
Maybe, right? So,
let me
anyhow,
find out, Scott.
we keep all that stuff in the mix of things, and we consider your feedback. So we appreciate your feedback. Thank you for sending it. We encourage you to send more, and we'll do what we can.
Speaking of feedback,
yeah,
what do you say we go live on Instagram right now and try and see if we can get any questions for the end of this podcast?
If you're listening on iTunes, head over to the YouTube channel so that way you can see us answering questions on the live feed.
So that's the end of our ranting and question answering. If you have any other questions, like always, make sure you leave them down below. Or if you're on iTunes or Google Play or one of those things, head over to our YouTube channel, comment there, throw us a message, a DM. I don't care. Whatever you want to do, just do that.
And
We're
on all the social platforms.
Yep.
We answer questions all the time. My phone blows up because I'm logged into all of these things.
Nice. Make sure you subscribe. Give us a thumbs up, a like. By now, there's probably like 16 people watching, so we've already missed our opportunity for that. Anyhow, thanks for tuning in, and we will catch you next Wednesday. And make sure to stay tuned. I think we have an FD podcast coming up shortly. So we'll catch you next time. Peace.